Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
reading more, episode 2 from the 21st-28th of December, New Scientist bumper edition, and continuing my reading. Exoskeletons are letting Japan's aging population keep working. Older people in Japan are strapping on exoskeletons that help the physical demands of their jobs and remain in the workforce longer. Japan's population is rapidly aging, with a record 28% of people aged 65 and older. This has led to a shortage of workers, particularly in manual labour industries such as construction, manufacturing and farming. To encourage older people to work on, tech companies in Japan have developed exoskeleton suits that make it easier to lift and carry heavy objects. Quote, "We have no option. Elderly people need to stay in the workplace," says Dio Aharo at Innofiz, which makes a model called the Every Muscle Suit, pictured. The suit, which is worn like a backpack, doesn't contain any batteries or motors and weighs less than 4 kilograms. When the user puts it on, they squeeze hand pumps 30 times to fill the suit's artificial muscles with pressurized air. Once pumped up, the artificial muscles exert a force that allow people to lift up 25 kilograms fairly easy, says Ahara. They need to be reinflated every day or two, she says. Hivis has sold around 4,000 suits for a cost of £1,000 each since releasing them in April 2018. They are currently being used in one of Japan's biggest whiskey companies to help older workers lift barrels by nursing homes to help lift residents in and out of bed, as well as by food manufacturers and construction companies. Older people have told the company that the suits have allowed them to stay in manual jobs for longer, says Obara, of course. One client is a family-owned company which makes and sells pickled radishes and uses heavy weights in the process of production, he says. His father, in his 70s, was supposed to retire, but is still working on our muscle suits, says Ohara. Panasonic is also developing a range of exoskeleton suits. Its leading version, the Otan Model Y, went on sale in July 2018 and cost £4,200 and is powered by motors instead of pressurized air. I don't know which would be better. Its battery's life is 8 hours. It weighs 4.5 kilograms and generates an assistive force of 10 kilograms. Similarly, Japanese companies J-Tech, which is part of the Toyota Group, began selling a motorized exoskeleton for lifting heavy objects. In August 2018, it says it too is designed to support the aging workforce. Seems to be something to it. Some sort of killer app. I don't know, there must be a word for killer app things. The demand for exoskeletons is likely to increase in Japan as the force raises the retirement age to address the worker shortages, a move which is being considered by the nation's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. "I want healthy, willing elderly people to use their experience and wisdom in society," he said earlier this year. Entomology. Rodeo ants that ride on the backs of others. Ants found in Texas by Claire Wilson. Yee-haw. Pretty interesting. "Or what would we call Texan ants that ride on the backs of other ants? Rodeo ants," says Alex Wild at the University of Texas in Austin. And discoverer of the two species of such insects. While little is known about them, so far, Wild's team has found just one individual from each of the two species. A few other kinds of ants elsewhere in the world are also known to perch on the backs of other ants. In those cases, the riders have evolved an unusual way of life. Most ants live in big colonies, sometimes comprising millions of ants, with one egg-laying queen and multitudes of sterile workers that bring the brood home to the nest and tend to the eggs. The riders do not have any workers. They are females and cling to the back of the queen of a bigger species. The riders lay down their eggs and fool the larger queen workers into looking after them. The two newly discovered Texan species are likely to act in the same way. They're not sure, obviously. She's probably dropping her own eggs in the brood pile where the host workers are treating them like their own. as she's a parasite on the food and labour of the colony. They seem to have adapted their appearance and behaviour to freeloading lifestyle. Each has about the same density of hairs on the back as the host ant does, as if to blend in. Although one of the ants was killed on collection, Walt observed the second in the lab for some time. While he repeatedly detached from the larger ant, it kept climbing back up again. They really like being on the queen, he says. Walt presented the findings in the Entomology 2019 conference in St. Louis, Missouri. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Quite an interesting thing to see. Ethiopia's a lost city. Ancient town uncovered from an empire that rivaled Rome. A lost by Michael Marshall. A lost town has been unearthed in Ethiopia that belonged to the Askum civilization that dominated East Africa for centuries and traded with other great powers like the Roman Empire. This is one of the most important ancient civilizations, but people in the Western world don't know it, says Michael Hauer of Johns Hopkins University in Maryland. Quote, outside Egypt and Sudan, it's the earliest complex society or major civilization in Africa. The Empire of Aksum controlled East Africa and parts of Arabia from around 80 BC to 2825 BC. So that's right through the Dark Ages. It's pretty amazing, the end of the fall of the Roman Empire. Alongside Rome, Persia and China, it was the leading power of its day. Its capital, called Aksum, still exists. Nobody knows how Aksum's civilization developed. It was preceded by the pre-Aksumite society of an unknown name. This earlier civilization may have been based around Yehe in northern Ethiopia, from which it has the oldest writings and standing architecture in sub-Saharan Africa. Because of this, Harawa and his colleagues surveyed the surrounding area. After discussions with local people, the researchers began excavating a hill near the village. They found a grid of stone walls, the remains of buildings of a town they have named Beta Samahari, which means House of Audience, in the local Tugan language. The find is highly significant, says Jackie Phillips of SOS University London. And most of us know the Aksumite and pre-Aksumite sites are old excavations hastily constructed and badly published by today's standards. Hastily conducted. Radiocarbon dates of the site span from 771 BC to AD 645. That means Beta Samahari existed during the pre-Aksumite period and was continuously inhabited through the Aksum. For Hauer and Phillips, this implies pre-Aksumite settlements weren't abandoned when the Aksum arose, and there may not have been a sharp break between the two previously suspected. As you would. Beta Samahari contains many small buildings. There is also a large building identified as a basilica. Aksum converted to Christianity in the 4th century, so this may have been a church. The team found a ring, pictured, made of copper alloyed and covered with gold leaf, bearing a red stone made of carnelian engraved with an image of a bull's head above a vine wreath. Quote, it looks like a Roman ring, except the style of the bull insignia, says Howard. It may be that the Aksum rulers brought in Roman craftspeople and asked them to adapt their designs to suit the Aksum culture, says Harrow. Archaeologists have long known Aksum was the major trading civilization exporting gold, ivory, elephants and baboons. The trade evidently reached Beta Samahari and the team found amphora possibly used to store wine, which seems to come from Aqaba and now in Jordan, and a red glass bead probably from the eastern Mediterranean. Space. That was archaeology. This is Space, and by Jonathan. Okay, good. Grazing pyrole skimmed Earth's atmosphere. A space rock came hurtling towards the Earth's atmosphere, and it flew straight back out again. in a rare example of a grazing fireball. Patrick Shelbert-Curtin, University of Australia, the Curtin University Australia, and his colleagues observed the event in July 2017 with a Desert Fireball Network, a suite of cameras that searches the Australian skies for bright meteors known as fireballs. They saw an intense 1,300-kilometre long trail that's easily stretches across the horizon. That's what altitude it's at. Flew overhead at nearly 16 kilometres per second. The meteor transited the atmosphere for over 90 seconds and reached... My point is that adding those 16 kilometres per hour and 90 seconds, multiplying that together, that's roughly a bit under 100 times that, that's 1,600, possibly, okay. Minimum height of 58.5 kilometres before returning to planetary space. So really, the atmosphere is pretty thin out there. It's like it's half as thick at 8 kilometres out at Mount Everest. So 10, that's a factor of 2 to the 5 times smaller. That's 64th as thick there. The researchers wrote in their paper. They estimate the rock was 30 centimetres across. It weighed 60 kilograms. A handful of such events had been seen before the first recorded in 72. The 2017 event was notable for its low altitude because the encounter was dramatically changed the rock's orbit. Although the rock was slowed to about 1.5 kilometres per second as it passed through the atmosphere, got a gravitational synclop from the Earth as it left. Space probes use a similar technique to obtain speed boost. This means that having started the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, the rock may now likely travel farther than Jupiter before heading back to go around the Sun. Schnauber and his team predicted it will remain in the new orbit for 200,000 years, probably being pushed further out towards Neptune or ejected from the solar system. This was really quite unusual, says Peter Brown, the Western University in Canada. As well as being exotics, these events have scientific value too. By studying such space rocks before and after, we can observe how they withstand the pressures of our atmosphere. It's an exquisite experiment in seeing how strong these objects are, says Brown, Jonathan Coghlan. That's interesting. A degree of interestingness. Okay. No surprise, we don't get massive ice sheets increasing, but massive ice sheets decreasing. Massive ice sheet in Arctic is melting fast. In the Greenland ice sheet is shrinking rapidly. Between 1992 and 2018, it lost 3.8 trillion tonnes of ice, according to a new assessment. That's roughly in line with the most extreme scenario for future ice losses set out in 2014, reported by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and predicts global sea levels will rise between 52 and 98 centimetres by 2100. Andrew Shepherd at the University of Leeds, UK, and his colleagues combined 26 satellite data sets to construct how Greenland's ice sheet has changed due to warming climate. As late as 1990s, it was in a state of balance. The ice lost in gases flowed into the sea when the ice surface melted in summer, but this was replaced by winter snow. The climate had already warmed, but the temperatures of Greenland were still mostly below 0°C. However, in the early 2000s, losses have outweighed gains. This means that since since 1992, ice ulcers from Greenland have contributed 1.6 centimetres to the sea level rise. When you add ice ulcers from other glaciers in Antarctica, plus the expansion of seawater as it warms, the total rise is about 7.5 centimetres over roughly the same period. Such small rises aren't enough to permanently submerge much of the land, but they dramatically increase the risk of coastal flooding during storms. Small changes in sea levels do matter, says Shepherds. Globally, 630 million people are estimated to live in the coastal land that will be flooded every year by 2100. Health. Mystery illness found to have genetic cause. Seven people with a mysterious disorder that triggers a fever every few weeks have finally received diagnosis. Okay. Genetic analysis has revealed that all of them have a previously unknown disorder called Sierra syndrome. The individuals aged between 10 and 82 were first assessed, belong to three families in the US. All reported having a fever every 2 to 4 weeks since they were babies. Having a fever and swollen lymph nodes every 2 weeks is not a good life, says Noel Walter of the Eliza Hall Institute of Medical Research in Australia. Some also had nausea, diarrhea and mouth ulcers. To find out what might be causing these symptoms, Lower and his colleagues looked at the individual's genes. They found that all seven peoples have a mutation of the gene called RIPK1. Another experiment, Sarah and her colleagues genetically engineered mice to carry the same mutation. These animals also had symptoms of the disorder. When the mice were given fragments of bacteria, the immune system seemed to mount an exaggerated response, and animals showed no more signs of inflammation and cell death. The new findings may lead to more effective treatments for the seven individuals, as well as for others with the same diagnosis. A team in China has identified two further families with the same mutation and similar symptoms. Some of those affected in the US are taking drugs that target substances that are linked to the inflammation in the body, but they don't work for all who have the mutation, and they can cost more than $30,000 a year. Drugs that specifically target RIPK1 may be better options, says Laholu. Beer trick really doesn't work. This is called fluid dynamics. Taking the beer can is a time-honored tip to stop fizzing over, but does it work? Sadly, not. There is a rationale for tapping the brew over before opening it. Bubbles for the carbon dioxide from the inner surface can be shaken. When open, depressurized, the bubbles swell and rise to escape, taking precious beer with them. Tapping the can, proponents say, dislodges bubbles from the sides of the can, making them rise to the top, where they won't expel the beer when they are opened. To investigate, Elisabetta Sofner, the University of Southern Denmark, and her team used 1,300mm beer cans. Half went to a mechanical shaker for 2 minutes to simulate being carried on a bike. Half a canister been shaken and unshaken were grouped or tapped by flicking them side 3 times. So this is typical double blind, and I bet she was into the... Oh, we'll do something for you, Copenhagen. What's it? Carl through again. The testers who opened the cans didn't know whether they had been shaken or tapped. The cans were weighed before and after opening to measure the beer loss. The shaken cans lost an average of 3.45 grams on beer opening, compared with 0.51 grams unshaken cans. Okay, so shaking really works. However, tapping didn't make a significant difference on how much beer was lost. The unspilt beer didn't go to waste. It was offered to staff and students at the university along with the snacks. Oh, well, you can imagine that, trying to get the beer as a research grant. Oh, this sounds a bit weird. Oh, well. Okay, AI calculates lifespan of species from DNA. Artificial intelligence has been used to estimate the maximum lifespan of extinct species of early humans from the DNA. Benjamin Mund, the CSIRO, Australia's National Science Research Agency, and his colleagues built an AI to predict the lifespan of different animals. To do this, they first trained it on known genomes of maximum lifespans of species of 252 animal species. The AI focused on 42 regions of DNA related to lifespan, devising a formula for maximum longevity based on those regions. I think this is just complete rot. Okay, the team tried to use the AI on extinct species. It estimated the woolly mammoth would live for up to over 6 years, and the Devonsonian, the mysteriously extinct cousin, for about 38. Researchers also found, this is just poppycock, I've never heard anything so stupid as this. The researchers also found that Pinta Island tortoises could reach 120 years old, the oldest known individual estimated to be more than 100 years old. The oldest blowhead whale is thought to be 221, but their model predicts 268 is possible. While the formula was off by around 4 years on average for animals that we know in the lifespan, it predicted that the maximum lifespan for humans is 38, suggesting the results should be taken with a pinch of salt. However, it is hard to gauge how far out is for extinct species. Ancient DNA is more degraded and hard to analyze, says Mann, so needs extra information. To arrive at 6 years for the mammoth, for example, the researchers had to incorporate African elephant's genome. Don't make me vomit. How stupid is that? Edgy Lee. Okay, quantum leaks let heat move across a vacuum. Yeah, that sounds completely stupid to me. They're calling it physics. Now let's listen. Heat can jump across total vacuum thanks to a strange quantum effect. Minuscule quantum fluctuations in vacuum allow heat transfer between two objects that aren't touching or emitting radiation. See, are you going somewhere, Sebastian?
What?
Are you going somewhere, Sebastian? Okay. Okay. It's rolling with quantum fluctuations. In 1948, physicist Hendrik Casimir predicted this would create a force that pulls objects in vacuum towards each other. The Casimir effect. In theory, it may also allow a heat to jump the vacuum, but this has never been measured before. Hao-Kan Li of the University of California, Berkeley, and his colleagues used the effect to show heat leading between two tiny drum-like membranes. Two membranes were placed 300 nanometers apart in a vacuum, were attached to a reservoir at different temperatures. The heat from the reservoirs caused the drums to vibrate, the hotter one faster than the colder. The vibrations became coupled at a quantum level, and the hotter membrane transferring heat to the cooler one until both vibrated at a similar rate, which meant they were similar temperature. The effect would be used to help cool computers. So if they're 300 nanometers apart, you could have the Casimir effect, meaning that if they were close, you could see it coupling. Yeah, okay. Okay, tiny holes make... I can't really see how... It's just complete bluff after a while. Tiny holes make panels see through. Windows in urban buildings could replace with a new type of transparent solar panel. It might be crucial to increasing the uptake of solar power in cities, says Kangwon Seol of Ulsan National University of Science in South Korea. This is because roof space is relatively fixed, whereas window space is growing as the buildings get taller. Seol and his colleagues wanted to develop, or you could just get massive solar farms happening in Australia and just forget about it all. Korea, we can give it to you all. They took 1 centimeter square cells made of crystalline silicon, which is opaque, then punched tiny holes through them to let light through. The holes are 100 microns in diameter. Okay, so they would diffuse light through them a bit. Other transparent panels tend to give the light It passes through them at a red or blue hue. Yeah, I could imagine that. Jeans panels convert about 12% of the energy of sunlight into electricity, substantially better than the 3 to 4% of other transparent cells achieved. Yes, but it's not actually transparent, is it? It's just using silicon, or you could basically tap that power and run a battery powered lid off the back of it. It's by Jeans panels. Okay, 12% is not good. Because I think it's 20%. Oh, okay, let me see. But lower than 20%, there's the best opaque cells on the market can manage. Yeah, so yeah, I just okay, we're coming up to a review of the year. I'll read that as a separate thing to see how it's going.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.